Dawn Jackson Blattner is America's favorite registered dietitian, nutritionist, author, TV game show celebrity. She joins us most Thursdays at this time to talk about food, diet, nutrition, and she makes you feel good about the food you eat. And what do you know? It's Thursday at this time. Dawn, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing great. This is my favorite time of the week, talking to you, talking to your listeners, talking nutrition. Good stuff.
When's the last time you had a hot dog?
Oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. I wrote my book, The Flexitarian Diet, because being a flexible vegetarian, because I loved eating hot dogs at Cubs games. And I always went around telling everyone, oh, I'm a vegetarian, except for I would always eat a hot dog at a Cubs game. And I said, you know, maybe I'm just a flexible vegetarian, that a lot of times I'll eat vegetarian, but I love a Cubs hot dog. So anyway, anytime I go to a Cubs game, you will see me with a hot dog.
I'm so glad to hear that. Did you then invent the word flexitarian?
I did not invent the word. I invented the diet. So the word existed in 2003. I read the word and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not just a lazy, bad vegetarian. I'm a flexible vegetarian. So I took that word and I made a diet for it.
Well, without going into detail, what's the main point of a flexitarian diet? What does that look like?
Flexitarian is you're flexible with your protein. So you don't have to be a vegan or a vegetarian, and you don't have to be a full meat eater. You're somewhere in the middle. So like actually last night was a perfect example of a flexitarian meal. I had like a Mediterranean bowl with cucumbers and tomatoes and quinoa and chicken and chickpeas. So if I was vegan, I'd probably only have the chickpeas. If I didn't care at all about flexible proteins, I'd probably only eat the chicken. So a flexitarian does a little bit of both plant and animal proteins in their, either in their meal or in their day or in their week.
Is that an edible bowl or a regular bowl?
I wish it was an edible bowl. But no, here's the thing. I think anything that I have for dinner could be better if I eat it from a bowl that has more vegetables in ratio to other things. So a lot of times, you know, if you're trying to have, like, say, a chicken sandwich for dinner, the problem is you're just not getting enough vegetables for that. So I tend to make almost everything we eat in this house a bowl because you get more vegetable ratio to the other foods you're eating.
Yeah. The chickpea, the cucumber, tomato, cucumber, and some chicken. If you'll let me put some chicken in there, I guess the complication might be the dressing that you put on the Greek salad that you're describing.
Oh, okay. So we vary it. Sometimes we put a lump of hummus on top as the dressing. Sometimes it'll be just like a vinaigrette. Yesterday, I think your son makes this tzatziki sauce, right? Greek yogurt.
Yes.
Shredded cucumber, salt, pepper, a little dill. Sometimes people put lemon or olive oil in there, but a very basic sauce. It's so good. Plus, because it's Greek yogurt, you're getting the probiotics for your gut health, which is great for regularity and immunity, and you're getting a source of calcium, which is also great. So anyway, it's a great, delicious sauce with health benefits.
Well, the Mediterranean diet has been like a thing for a while, right? I mean, that's, if you were just going to emulate anybody, you would eat like the Greeks or the Mediterranean diet, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, actually, it is so hot, so popular. Every day I read, I mean, at least an hour of what's happening in nutrition. Nutrition research is every single day. There are hundreds of articles. I mean, it is unbelievable. And literally every single day you'll read, you know, this diet helps with dementia. This diet helps with diabetes. This diet helps with cholesterol. This diet helps with blood pressure. This diet will help you live forever. And you're like, what is the diet? Every single time, Mediterranean style diet. So it's really, it's in every research article. In fact, there was one that I was reading that inspired me to write a quiz about this. It was an article that took 130 countries. And they looked all across the globe of how people are eating, and the people who lived the longest in full health, meaning they didn't have injury, they didn't have disease, they were in full health. What were these people eating that lived the longest in full health? Yep, Mediterranean diet. So this Mediterranean-style diet is no joke. It's real. So what most people ask me is like, you know, I want to try and follow the Mediterranean diet. You know, what should I do? And, you know, you could read things on the internet. It gets so confusing and whatever. There's actually just eight things. Every researcher that is doing research on the Mediterranean diet asks people these eight questions to figure out if they're following a Mediterranean diet or not. So I wrote the eight question quiz of, do you follow a Mediterranean diet? Calculate your Mediterranean diet score, a Mediterranean diet score. So are you ready for the eight questions?
Yeah, but I don't like my chances. Go ahead.
Okay, so for every one you get right, you get 1 point.
Okay.
And you're going to tabulate this because then there's a key at the bottom of, you know, are you following it or not?
Okay, so well, let's do this.
First question.
No, wait.
Okay.
I want the people at home to be able to play, too. I'm going to take a break here. Get a number two pencil and a piece of paper or some way to tabulate your score. Don's going to ask us the questions. Let's see how we do. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
Nutritionist Dawn Jackson-Blattner is a regular Thursday guest. She's all about the Mediterranean diet. She's going to score us on this healthy diet. Okay, Dawn?
Okay, so you're ready. There's going to be eight questions. They're yes or no. For every yes, you get 1 point.
Got it.
So question one for your Mediterranean diet score. I eat 3 cups or more of vegetables each day.
Okay.
Okay.
I 3 cups. Damn. No, I don't do it every day. Zero. Okay, go.
Okay. I eat 2 pieces or more of fruit each day.
Keep going.
Okay. Three, I eat 2 servings or more of whole grains each day.
Would that be, how about 2 pieces of whole wheat toast?
Yes, that would count. Yep.
Okay, I'll give myself a point there.
Okay, number four, I eat fish 2 or more times each week. That could be, you know, salmon, that could be a can of tuna, going to a restaurant ordering fish.
Hey, do I get 2 points if I have a tuna sandwich on wheat, whole grain?
Yes, in different categories, you get different points. So, yes, you can count that in each of those categories. You ready for five?
Yeah.
Okay, I eat 1.5 cups or more of beans each week.
Each week? Okay.
Yes, each week.
Got it.
A week. Okay, number six, I eat nuts or seeds almost every day.
Got it.
I use olive oil as my main source of fat.
Okay, I got 4 points.
Okay, final one. There's one more. Eight.
Oh, okay.
I eat red or processed meat no more than once a week.
Sorry.
Okay, so then we did 8 questions.
Yeah.
And if you scored 7 or 8, you are officially following a Mediterranean diet. Good work, you know, good job. If you're in that 4 to 6 range, hey, listen, I mean, you're pretty close. You're a work in progress. Maybe a little bit more effort. Look at the ones that you could get a little bit higher and, you know, work your way toward a more Mediterranean diet. And if you are 0 to 3, you're not following the Mediterranean diet. You know, there's still hope. But, you know, that really gives you a sense of what the Mediterranean diet. It's vegetables and fruits. It's whole grains and fish. It's beans. It's nuts and seeds. It's olive oil. It's not very much red or processed meat. And I like the quiz because it sort of gives you a target for what you're looking for to really be following it. And so even if you're not perfect, I do feel like that gives you a good sense of what you need to do. And there are also Mediterranean lifestyle factors. A lot of researchers are saying, hey, wait a second. Diet is important, absolutely what you eat. But you also have to know that Mediterranean lifestyle factors are important. And that would be things like exercising 150 minutes or more each week. So, you know, doing the math, that's 5 days a week, about 30 minutes. Sleeping 7 or 8 hours a night. Socializing 2 or more hours each week. So socializing is a big part of the Mediterranean diet. They have actually recommendations in their food guidance of when you're eating, try to eat with other people in a friendly, jovial, lively way. It's really an interesting thing, you know. It's not just so sciencey. They also have, you know, feelings, emotions, and socializing as part of their health system and their health lifestyle.
I wonder if that also slows your consumption, that you get full faster. You're probably better for you if you're not just wolfing it down like I did yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, all of us. I mean, we live pretty full, rushed lives. And so, like, that element of a Mediterranean lifestyle vibe at mealtime of, you know, trying to slow down, actually enjoying your food. You know, can you taste the food? You know, are you chewing your food? Are you enjoying your company that you're with?
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take some read some texts and take some phone calls. But I also want you to, before we get done here, my idea of Greek food, whenever I'm preparing something for myself, I just put a lot of those vegetables in a bowl of some vinaigrette or whatever, and I eat that, and that's my Greek thing. But that's the only Greek thing I know. Like, what else would I eat besides a Greek salad for me to get on the Mediterranean diet? Will you give me a couple of suggestions in a minute?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, what's so interesting is the Mediterranean diet is even beyond, you know, Greece. You know, even Italy and Spain and southern France.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really a big, even Middle East, actually, if you think about it, you know, and even like Turkey and Middle Eastern food. So it's like, you know, it's well beyond the typical Greek salad that you would have. And really what's so great about this quiz is it reminds you, it doesn't have to look Greek. It really can just be all the foods that we love that just has fruits and vegetables, whole grains, a little olive oil, fish once in a while. You know, so it could almost anything that you eat can be an Americanized version of Mediterranean style eating.
Our number is 312-981-7200. Rhonda has a question for Flexitarian Dawn Jackson Blattner. Go ahead, Rhonda. What can we do for you?
Yes, this is regarding olive oil. There are different flavors of olive oil, and I really don't like any of them except the one that says light taste, and it says for frying and baking. I just put a spoonful of it in my oatmeal every day. Does it make a difference what level, so to speak, of olive oil, or are they all equally healthy? And Rhonda is a shout out to Kathy and Judy. Miss them.
Yeah, don't we all? Yeah. Although we used to say, be Rhonda if you're going to say something that's really embarrassing and you want to keep your anonymity. I would be embarrassed if people knew I was putting olive oil on my oatmeal. But Dawn, why don't you go ahead and respond to that?
Well, it does matter, actually. When you're having light olive oil, it is not as nutritious as a full first pressed extra virgin olive oil because it is light, because many of those pieces of the olive flex have been removed, which is why it doesn't taste as strong and it doesn't have as even a bright of a color. So you are getting less of the olive antioxidants and the olive benefits. However, it's not none. It's less, but it's not none. So that's still a great choice. The biggest thing for olive oil, I think, that gets confusing for people is like how much they feel like they need to use, and that people are like, oh, I'm going to take a spoonful of it. I'm going to put it on this and this and this and this and that. It's really a half of a tablespoon a day, which is 1.5 teaspoons. Okay, it's a tiny bit. Is what we are looking for. And most people can get that just by either drizzling a little on their salad at night or cooking their vegetables in a little bit of olive oil. So, you know, you really don't have to go above and beyond and put it on everything to get these benefits. You know, it pretty much can happen naturally if that's the one olive oil or the one oil you have in your house is olive oil. It happens pretty natural.
Beans are so good for fiber, Dawn. I eat almost daily. Keeps your digestion regular. Thank you. And 630 said, I'm a 68-year-old female vegetarian. I just started weightlifting. I'm trying to add more protein. Is whey a product that you would recommend?
Okay, so in terms of somebody who is a vegetarian, whey can fit because it is dairy or milk-based. If somebody is trying to be vegan or not have any animal products, that would not fit in a vegan or totally plant-based diet. And so plant protein powders, where they're usually like quinoa or hemp or pea-based, would be the route to go. So whether you're doing whey or whether you're doing plant-based, you will still, research says, you will still get the benefits to your muscles by using either one of them. So it does not have to be whey, but it is a very well-studied protein powder. And with exercise, so, you know, not just taking protein powder by itself, but with weightlifting exercise in particular, people do see muscle growth or muscle hypertrophy, which is the fancy way to say muscle growth.
Ruth, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Ruth?
Hi. I'm wondering if you eat guacamole every day, which is what I do, like a spoonful or two of it, is that a substitute for olive oil, which I really don't care for that much?
Okay, first of all, I want to be friends with you. Anyone eating guacamole on a daily, that is a fun person. Like, right, that is good times. Guacamole made out of avocado is very good fat. because, like you know, it is that monounsaturated fat, which is also what olive oil falls under. So they are very similar, but they do have different properties. So I would, you know, I would never force somebody to eat something they don't like. I would never say, you know, use olive oil even though you don't like it. But I would not say one can substitute for the other. So feel good about your guacamole. Feel good about those healthy fats you're getting there. But if you do need to saute vegetables or maybe cook an egg, you know, thinking about a little teaspoon here and there of olive oil is a good move.
Well, what do you think about one of those sprays where I'm not putting butter or oil, but I'm putting some sort of non-stick spray on the skillet?
Okay, my stance on spray is I love a empty spray bottle that you can buy at like all your Bed Bath & Beyonds and Targets and Amazon. Put your own olive oil in there. You put your own extra virgin olive oil in there, and then you can mist it on is my favorite way to do it, because you're mindfully using the portion of your olive oil, but you also know that you're getting, you know, a dab of goodness for yourself.
What we answer this almost every week, and maybe we should. What is considered a whole grain? I do not like bread products or pastas. Well, if you don't like them, but I guess this is some of the yet still finds that they will end up consuming bread or pasta. But anyway, what do you mean when you say whole grain?
Yes. So this is, yeah, definitely a topic to think about, right? Oatmeal, for example, is naturally a whole grain. So if you're having oatmeal in your day, yes, you have a whole grain. Quinoa is technically, it's a grass, but technically we count that as like a whole grain. If you have anything, buckwheat, that is a whole grain. Sorghum is a whole grain. Most of us get our whole grains, though, from whole wheat, 100% whole wheat bread, or 100% whole wheat pasta. That tends to be, you know, where a lot of Americans get it. But, hey, olive oil, quinoa, oatmeal, quinoa, buckwheat, all of that stuff is whole grain. And you know it because it is got the outside part, which is the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. Whole grains have three parts to them, and on the label it will say 100% whole on the ingredients.
Okay, but we've talked about this before. Is it whole, 100%, or grain? What's the key word I'm looking for?
Oh, okay. So listen to this. So a lot of people will send in to me too, and they say, oh, you know, it says wheat, for example. Well, wheat means white. That they're synonyms. Wheat is white. So you're looking for whole grain, and you would like it to be, out of all the percentages that there are available, you would like it to be 100% whole wheat or 100% whole grain. But, you know, even if it's not 100% and just has some, that's better than none.
Yeah.
So 100% and the word you're looking for, yeah, is whole. A lot of people get confused about whole grain and whole wheat, too, by the way.
Whole grain
is the umbrella term. That's the umbrella term. It's big. There's lots of different kinds of grains. One kind of grain is wheat. So when you say whole wheat, that is a type of the umbrella term whole grain.
What is considered, or is pita considered a whole grain?
Okay, I would go to the store, I would pick up my pita package, and I would look at the ingredients, and I would see, does it say whole wheat flour as the first ingredient? And then I say, oh my gosh, this is made out of whole wheat flour. If I see any other types of flours on that label, I know it's not 100% whole wheat, because I also saw like a white enriched flour in there too. But it has some whole wheat, and whole wheat is high on the label. It's maybe the first ingredient. I'm going to pick that pita, and I'm going to know I'm getting some whole grain from that pita. But if you just go into the store and pick up any pita, no, that's not necessarily whole grain. Another one that a lot of people get confused, I got to tell you, this is a big one, couscous. People think couscous is this great whole grain. It is not. Couscous is white pasta. Unless you are buying couscous that is whole wheat couscous, there's nothing special about it. It's a fancy word. It sounds like it could be healthy, but it isn't. Same thing with pita. It's not naturally a whole grain unless you're choosing that option that says whole grain.
I asked you to, at the end of this conversation, give us some recipe ideas for eating a Mediterranean diet, but I think you did. When you talked about chicken and fish and peas and vegetables and olive oil.
Yeah, I have something that can blow your mind. You want me to blow your mind right now?
If you can.
A taco bowl.
I got 30 seconds. Go.
Oh, yeah. A taco bowl can technically be Mediterranean, even though it's sort of Mexican-inspired, right? A taco bowl is a lot of vegetables. You have a lot of cut-up cabbage, tomatoes, all that stuff. a little bit of black beans on there, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of brown rice. It's got whole grains. It's got fruits and vegetables. It's got beans. That is even Mediterranean, even though it is more, you know, Southwest inspired.
Did you post or are you going to this Mediterranean lifestyle quiz on your webpage?
Yes, I put it on my website just for you and your listeners.
Dawn Jackson Blattner. You can find her at dawnjacksonblattner.com. And on Instagram, she's DJ Blattner. Talk to us next week, my friend.
Yes, love to. Have a great week.